Next on BYUSN, which Big 12 athletic program will pose the biggest challenge to BYU once Texas and Oklahoma split town? And if Keaton Slovis returns to his 2019 USC form this season, what could that mean for BYU? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. I'm Dave McCann. Spencer Linton's going to join us in a couple of moments. We have a great show on tap for you today, including the question, which program, not named Texas or Oklahoma, will give BYU the biggest challenge in the Big 12? Those two schools leave after this year, and then it's up to everybody else to fight for the titles. Texas Tech head coach Joey McGuire is going to join us. Red Raiders quarterback Tyler Shuck. We'll hear from him as he talks about coming to Provo for the first time. And Big 12 travel is off the charts. Which team's going to travel the most? Where does BYU stack up in that lineup? And how will it affect the Cougars as they jump from coast to coast? That's all coming up here on BYU Sports Nation. Earlier in Dallas, Spencer and Jerem caught up with Texas Tech head coach Joey McGuire. His Red Raiders come to town on October 21st, their first trip to Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Here's that interview.
Coach, I think we need to start with your jacket. Not only does it look fantastic on the outside, but BYU fans are going to love the tribute to Mike Leach on
the
inside.
That's awesome. Yeah, no doubt. You know, I tell everybody, I'm a high school coach. I've never been anywhere else but the state of Texas, and I think there's very few coaches that have had more influence the game of football, not only at the college level, but at the high school level. I mean, you can go anywhere every Friday night and see some kind of Mike Leach influence whenever it comes to offensive football in the state of Texas. And so, you know, it's kind of a tip of the hat to him and what he meant to Texas Tech, but also what he meant to high school football in this state. And so, I didn't know him very well. But I feel like I know him and know him even better every time I hear stories here at Texas Tech. So just tip of the hat to Coach Leach.
We were crushed, obviously, when he passed away. And he was a BYU student, but he never actually played football. And then he would come back every year, and every year he's gotten increasingly better LinkedIn as time went on, and his influence is still here. Now BYU's in this league, and we're so excited to be with Texas Tech and all the teams. What's your kind of sense of what BYU and the other three bring to the league now?
Well, starting with y'all, man, y'all bring a logo that carries a lot of weight nationally. I'm a football fanatic, and, just going back and watching Detmer and what he did, you know, and him being from
Texas
Mission.
Guy. Let's go.
Yeah, Mission, Texas, you know.
You
and,
bet.
And so, you know, I just got think through of so many great times and watching BYU football and the games that y'all played in. And so I think it's absolutely tremendous for the conference. I'm a huge fan of y'all's head coach. He's got phenomenal energy. In 2021, I was still at Baylor, and so we got to play. It was really cool to see how y'all traveled, because there was a lot of blue in that stadium that day, and so really tough game, really physical. I love that brand of football. I think it's going to be really good for the Big 12, and so really exciting. I actually spoke at the clinic. Bronco Mendenhall was the head coach at the time, and I've never been to a game there, but I'm really excited to play there. One, because of your fan base, but two, it's absolute beautiful setting for a football game, and so I'm excited about that. You're talking about there's no layups in this conference. It is competitive every single week, and you're bringing in four teams that, if you think about it, have played in the conference championships over the last few years. A team, I've already talked about y'all, but then you turn around Cincinnati, who's played in the Final Four. And so you're bringing in some really, really good football teams and some really good football coaches. And so I'm really excited, because I think it only builds our brand and what our commissioner's doing. And y'all heard him yesterday. There's nobody better in the business.
Let's go.
And the dude's got some juice, man.
I know. It's awesome.
I think that's why they don't put me and him on the same day. I don't know which one has more juice, me or him.
We can't handle that much energy.
Right. No.
Let's not peak in day one. Let's keep going to day
two. We love it. We love the energy you're bringing to the show. I do want to talk about just the emergence of Texas Tech. And I'm almost hesitant to use cliches, but the term of dark horse has been discussed for Texas Tech as a Big 12 title contender this year. What's gone into building towards this for this season?
You know, just huge buy-in from very early. And I always tell everybody, and you know, I've got five of my best here, and they were five of the quickest to buy in. You know, and when your best players buy in that early, you have the opportunity to really build something. We have 18 starters coming back from the bowl game. And so when you bring that much experience back, again, you have an opportunity to build. But we understand, you know, what we're getting into and who we're playing every single week. And so we're going to have to do a really good job of continually stay hungry, stay humble. We got to be healthy, but we got to focus on ourselves. I mean, that's one thing, you know, that, again, cliche. I mean, that is cliche, but at the end of the day, it is. I mean, when you start looking across the field and you start looking at logos and stuff like that, you kind of forget what you have to do, or you make something bigger than what it is. Yeah. And so that's one thing that we really try to focus on. They hear it constantly, be the best version of themselves. They know I have a lot of fun. I'm a jokester. I have high energy. But when we step in between the lines, there's nothing personal. I'm going to push these guys to be their very best, and they understand that. And that's what's great. They bought into it.
Do you like the dark horse moniker? Or are you like, hey, can't we just be a straight-up contender?
You know, I just like the expectation. You know, you'd rather be on that end. I mean, whenever people don't, I mean, I guess it's expecting not a lot from you or expecting you to lose, but, you know, it's really not expectations. So if nothing else, I appreciate the expectations, and that's going to be something that they're going to hear constantly. I always tell everybody, I think I'm a PowerPoint guru. I don't know if these guys would agree. I do use a lot of – I use a PowerPoint almost every day, and I use a lot of different videos, but I have one already ready to go for our very first meeting when we report to camp, and it's going to be talking about expectations and what we have to do to meet them.
You don't bust out the old overhead?
Ever? No. You know, at one point I tried that ladybug or whatever where you put up there. My handwriting's so bad.
And it's
nobody
bad for
can
lefties.
Read it. Yeah,
it's
so,
smears.
No doubt.
Coach, we can't understand.
What is this? Oh, yeah. Just best version of ourselves? Okay, great.
Yep, no
I
doubt.
Assume the goal is not to have three quarterbacks throw for 1,000 yards each.
Yeah.
Tyler Shuck's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. And, you know, it's going to start. Definitely we're we have grown as an offensive line. I think that's one thing I'm really excited about. You know, we have some guys back, and then, you know, we were able to add Rusty Stats from the portal. And so he's going to start at center. That allows us to move our center to guard. Dennis Wilburn had never played center before in his life at any level until last year, and he started every single game for us. This is going to take a lot off his plate. That's what he is. He's a natural guard. It's going to bring some of his aggressiveness back. So I'm excited about that. And you know, Tyler's got to be smart too. You know, he's got to. The tough thing about Tyler, he's a tough guy. That's a good thing, but he's a tough guy, and he has a lot of control. So sometimes he calls his own number, and I'm glad he does. But you know, he's going to have to get down. He's going to have to get out of bounds, and he's still not going to. He's probably, you know, he's got that fullback mentality. Mm-hmm. We saw that in the bowl game. And so we've got to do a good job putting him in good situations, you know, to protect himself, but also be who he is. And you can't take that away from him. I mean, that's kind of who he is.
We call that a Taysom Hill type.
Yeah. No doubt. Man,
like, you just get out of bounds sometimes, man. He's like, no, I'm just going to go through.
Okay. Yeah. We've seen that. He's one of my favorite players, man. He was actually there whenever I got to see him a little bit, because he was there whenever I was speaking at the clinic.
Oh, nice.
Texas saw it twice.
Oh, no doubt.
He's a dude, man.
He's a nightmare icon for Texas football fans.
No doubt.
Joey McGuire, the Texas Tech head coach, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. One of the things that we're really enjoying about this implementation into the Big 12 is letting BYU fans know a little bit about, you know, not just football aspects of each of these Big 12 schools, but things behind the scenes. And I want to ask you specifically about the Siegel family. Tim Siegel's longtime tennis coach, 23 years, retired, tragic accident for his son Luke, who became just like this unbelievable inspirational and motivational person for Texas Tech and the alumni base, and really then sports in general. We saw all these major names getting involved, but I thought it was really cool that you honored Luke Siegel's name last year by awarding the number three jersey, you know, to someone who deserved it. Is that something that's going to continue for your program moving forward? Or is that a one-time thing?
No, we just awarded it to Bryce Ramirez, who I will tell you, Bryce has a couple years left, and I don't think anybody would take it from him. This is a young man that he is absolutely one of the toughest dudes I've ever been around in my life. North Carolina State, compound fracture, and he'll be playing against Wyoming.
Wow.
I mean, you go back and you think about one of the worst injuries, and he's over there. I come over and, you know, most people would just be going nuts, and he's literally telling me, tell the guys I'm okay. And then he turns to our trainer and he goes, are they going to give me any pain meds? that simple, though. Like, I would have been going nuts, you know.
Oh,
and so it's one of the deals that it's a brand number, the toughest, hardest working, most competitive guy. It's something that with Luke, it's fight like Luke. You know, he was whenever I listened to Tim talk about his son, it was one of the deals with Matt Rule. You have to earn a single digit. And I loved it. I loved that when we were together. But one thing with name, image, likeness and everything, and guys already, you know, taking that number and really kind of capitalizing on that number, I didn't want to take that away from anybody. So I kind of specifically, that was Luke's favorite number, specifically took that number, and it was really cool to see Bryce. And I know Tim was really excited, took some pictures with him a couple of weeks ago, and he'll represent that number definitely, not only for Texas Tech, but in memory of Luke.
And let's finish with this. You have two talented kids. What are you feeding them? Garrett is a 24-year-old youngest FBS assistant in Nebraska. And then Reagan is a fashion designer. Taylor Swift has worn some of her stuff on the Eras Tour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
It's all mom.
Uh-huh.
They got all the talent from their mama, I promise you.
That's amazing. Have you worn any of her stuff?
I haven't. Debbie has. She hasn't really. She hasn't done. She works for a company called Ammer. And, you know, that's more of the female side and everything. She always tells me she'll do stuff for me if I wanted to. But I always tell her brother, I mean, her brother, because of the world that we live in football, everybody's always talking about him. But I say, your sister's more talented, bro.
That's big time.
Yeah.
That's big time.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, if you want to crank some T-Swift in the locker room pregame, we're good with that.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't know if these guys will like that. I kind of let them
Would you
decide.
Guys like that? Yes? No?
Yeah. Hands Tyler's up? Might like a little,
Hands up?
Tyler's
okay.
might be a Swiftie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tyler Shuck says yes, so it's a go.
There you go.
I love it. Coach, thanks for the time. Thanks for the energy and the insight into Texas Tech football.
Thank you, man. Welcome to the conference.
Thank
I'm
you.
So excited you are here, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're excited to come there because I know your fan base is going to be absolutely incredible, and it's going to be a war, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be what football is all about, you know, two tough teams really getting after each other.
We're looking forward to October 21st. Thanks again, Coach.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Homecoming night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium with Joey McGuire and Texas Tech. They'll bring in their guns up scenario.
The guns up.
And a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people, obviously with the media having picked Texas Tech to finish in the top four at number four, think that the Red Raiders could be this year's TCU, Cinderella, that makes, you know, not just a run to a Big 12 championship game day, but maybe sneaks into the college football playoff. A
couple of teams picked ahead of them, Oklahoma and Texas, are going to be the target of every team, especially the old school Big 12ers, their last shot at them. So as good as Texas is perceived to be, I just don't know if they can bring it every single week. I think there's some losses for the Longhorns. There's some losses for Oklahoma. They didn't even go to a bowl game last year. Kansas State's in there as well, but you're right. Texas Tech could pop right up in there and grab it, just like a surprise that last year or the year before when Baylor jumped up and did it. You know, they're down here, they jump up and grab it because everyone thinks Texas is going to get it.
Yes. Six different teams have played in the Big 12 championship game over the last 3 years. Texas Tech would be a seventh.
It'll be a fun night for a variety of reasons. We anticipate it'll be a night game, but you never know. But plenty of offense from Texas Tech and plenty of offense from BYU. Love the Texas Tech hook with Keanu Hill. His dad's in the Ring of Honor there at Texas Tech, one of the greatest receivers ever there. And Keanu's here at BYU, ready to make his name. And Lloyd Hill's going to join us on the pregame show.
Which is awesome.
And I think he'll be wearing a BYU shirt, maybe a Texas Tech hat. You know, he's right there in with all of that stuff. And what a fun matchup, October 21st.
Yeah, and we're going to have more of those insider stories about the opponents. We talked about one of those yesterday with Iowa State and Jack Trice Stadium. We alluded to it with Joey McGuire there, but there are just some really, really meaningful stories within each of these Big 12 foes fan bases, and we've kind of taken it upon ourselves to just dive into those and tell those stories, right?
Looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun fall. We had a great season debut last night for After Further Review. We rolled out the Puka and Jaron Hall show, the Cullen the Dangerous duo, those great highlights they had together, all of them, while they were here at BYU. Now they're on to the NFL. You can watch it in case you missed it. On demand, go to BYUSN.com. It's there for you. You can watch it as many times as you want, all for free.
Up next on BYUSN, which Big 12 athletic program will pose the biggest challenge to BYU once Texas and Oklahoma leave the conference? And if Keaton Slovis returns to his 2019 USC form, what does that mean for BYU this season? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with Dave McCann. It's time to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
On your mark, ready, get set, go. I hope y'all ready. I hope y'all ready. I hope y'all ready.
What's Trending, presented by Feastbox, donating 10% of every order to Full of Hope, a charitable organization that feeds hungry families. Joey McGuire, the Texas Tech head coach, set the energy, Dave.
Yeah,
we're going to keep the energy high, right?
Let's do it.
Let's play the hypothetical game. And by that, I mean if, then. We're calling it if, then. We have a number of hypothetical if scenarios surrounding BYU football, which will obviously bring about then reactions. And we begin the fun with our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
Which is BYU football has started a season 5-0 just 7 times in program history. Most recently in 2020 and 2021. Did it 2 years in a row. Then 2008, 01, 84, the national championship run, 81 with Jim McMahon, and 79 with Mark Wilson. Doesn't happen often, relatively speaking, Dave. So with that in mind, if, synchronized blue goggles, BYU starts 5-0 in 2023, then what?
Then they have the biggest game of the day in college football when they go into TCU to take on the team that played in the national championship game last year in a clash of old Mountain West foes in Fort Worth in a game where TCU is trying to keep BYU fans out, and it sets the stage for a showdown. And it also means BYU's healthy. If they're healthy, they're happy. And it also means that two fan bases are out of their minds, BYU's and Utah's.
BYU would undoubtedly, 5-0. I mean, if you beat Arkansas and on the road, and then follow that up with a road win at Kansas, and then take care of business against Cincinnati.
You're probably ranked 15.
Going into the bike, you're in the top 15.
Yeah.
You are a top 15 team, and all of a sudden, you're becoming a national darling. And, oh, look at what BYU's doing in the Big 12. Can they keep it rolling against the defending national runners-up in TCU?
And then just take it to the next level. Let's say then they beat TCU, and they get Texas Tech at home. And then they go to Texas, 7-0. Probably ranked sixth.
Oh, it's like it's almost
Remember,
too
our
much.
Our goggles are on. This is if they you can't be 7-0 unless you're first 5-0, right? And then six. But if they start 5-0, all those things are on the table.
The luster is almost too bright, even with the blue goggles on.
Yeah, these lights just get a lot brighter. But if it's 5-0, that's how magic starts, right? Magical seasons start 5-0, and then you got a shot at fate. You know, and who knows? If you're 0-5, okay, you have no shot at being 6-0.
Yeah.
A 5-0 team does. And then all of a sudden, you're having a TCU season.
Yes.
And then you're in the national championship game.
Just wild.
You're getting hammered, but you're in the game.
Now, the odds makers and the Vegas experts and ESPN's Football Power Index and the mathematical formulas would all suggest that most likely BYU is 3-2 after the first 5 games. There's a win in there after you take care of Sam Houston State and Southern Utah between Kansas, Arkansas and Kansas in that order, and then Cincinnati. There's a win in there somewhere, but people are falling back on 3-2.
Yeah.
A 4-1 would be phenomenal.
Right.
But 5-0, now you're talking about making some real national noise. Again, top 15 team. And maybe college game day is in Fort Worth for BYU at TCU.
And more importantly, 5-0 means you're healthy. That means Slovis is back there. That means Robbins is back there. That means Rex is catching passes.
Think about, and I know Kansas is different, but think about what Kansas was doing when they were 5-0 last year. And I know they don't have the history that BYU does, but because BYU does have history and they're new to the Big 12, it would kind of be that type of hoopla, right?
Holy cow. Okay, next question.
All right.
We'll take the goggles off. Mm-hmm. If BYU starts 2-3, then what?
I'd like to stick my head in the sand. Forget the goggles. I want to bury my head in the sand.
What does that mean, moving forward?
It means that something has gone horribly wrong, and probably it means your starting quarterback is hurt or not playing well or unable to play for some reason. There have been multiple injuries, and things are clearly not going as planned.
And the bummer would be you probably lost the Big 12 home opener against Cincinnati.
Yes.
A lot of folks think they should win that game.
You lost your Big 12 opener to Cincinnati. Like, at that point,
in front of a full house in your place.
And you have to sit on 2-3 for an additional week because you go into the bye week at 2-3, and it's like, oh, my gosh. Is BYU going to win 4 games this year?
Right. That's when that topic comes up because TCU's like, sweet, we'll take you right now. Texas Tech, they have no fear if Cincinnati won in Provo. Why should Texas Tech fear coming into Provo? And then you go to Austin.
Yes.
Now you're having a whole different thing.
The front half of the schedule, we think right now, based on what we believe we know, is easier for sure than the back half of the schedule.
Right.
And that back half of the schedule, Dave, includes Texas Tech, Oklahoma, and Texas. All there, and a road trip to West Virginia, and a game at Oklahoma State after Thanksgiving.
And it's the back-to-back-to-back-to-backs. It's 10 straight P5s with the one bye week in between before the TCU game, as you mentioned. So, yeah, it just gets harder. So 2-3 would be a tough start.
So the reason we settled on 5-0 and 2-3 to discuss the two totally different dynamics is I think collectively we all feel – whatever happens in the first 5 games is certainly going to impact the tone for the entirety of the season. If BYU can be 4-1 in the first 5 games, they got a real shot at winning 8.
Yeah.
3-2, now it's going to be that very, very tense drive through snowy conditions emotionally as a fan where you can't grip the steering wheel hard enough to see if BYU can manufacture 6 wins. 3-2, and it's hold on to see what happens. The first 5 really are the key to setting the tone for the season.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some other big questions that also tie into success.
Yes, yes. Notably, at the quarterback position, if Keaton Slovis returns to his 2019 USC form as the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year, then what?
Well, that means he will have thrown for at least 3,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. Here's why he could do that. He's healthy as he was when he was a freshman, and he's been dinged up in between. So he comes back healthy. He comes back smarter. He started 34 P5 games. He's been traveled, USC, Pittsburgh. He's in this offense that he chose, and he's got tools around him. If he is the 2019 Keaton Slovis, BYU's closer to a 5-0 start.
Yes, yes.
And then all those things that you mentioned a moment ago.
Okay, now I promised.
I mean, he slinged it around right here when he was just a kid.
He was all of 19 years old. So I had a couple of conversations with some prominent personalities at Big 12 Media Days. One, a national media member that has been on the show before. People know him, but I promised him I wouldn't say his name because he's like, I can't be. Listen, I'm going to tell you my opinion, but you have to promise me you're not going to tell people who said this. And I was like, can I at least talk about it at some point? And he said, yes. Well, you just cannot tell them that I'm the one.
He's safe with us.
I'm the one that
said
this.
In the ball.
Then there was another coach from an opposing staff that said something similar. So I'm going to take those two stories because they both center on Keaton Slovis. And they said, if Keaton Slovis, collectively, together, if Keaton Slovis looks like he did in 2019 at USC, if he returns to that form, I quote, do not be surprised to see BYU in the Big 12 championship game. And I thought, wow, I don't know if I can go there. I don't know if I can go there emotionally. And they said, you don't understand. This kid, when he is on, and because of what he could potentially do, and with the Big 12 being wide open really after Texas and Kansas State, BYU could be the team that is right there. But they feel like it comes down to if Keaton Slovis is great and if he can return to that form in 2019. Do not be surprised if BYU makes a run at a Big 12 championship game appearance.
In that tremendous form, BYU beat him.
I know. That's so what's wild about
it. Now he's with us. And if he can bring that skill set to this offense, I can see how those guys might think that.
Yes.
I'm glad it's them thinking that because, you know, if we think it, we're like, well, we're supposed to think that.
Yes.
Those guys aren't supposed to think that.
So the coach that spoke to me said, now, if you tell people that I said that, then I'll probably lose my job.
Yeah.
But I am trying to get said media member to join us on the show and say that. I was like, you need to do this. And
Let's
he said, if I can get emotionally there, maybe I'll consider it.
Here's the next question. If Aiden Robbins, all 6'3", 230 pounds of him, rushes for 1,000 yards, then what?
Oh, man. Then BYU for sure is going to a bowl game, Dave. Like if BYU has a 1,000-yard rusher and Aiden Robbins can take some pressure off of Keaton Slovis and that BYU offensive line is doing what we think they will do, then I believe BYU is going to win at least 7 games. Like, if you are rushing for 1,000 yards in this conference, you have the physicality necessary to win a bunch of games and win close games.
And get first
downs, right?
Third and short.
This is why BYU was so good in 2021. When Jaren Hall could hand off to Tyler Allgeier on 3rd and 3, or 3rd and 2, or even 3rd and 4, and just think, okay, there's like a 90% chance we're going to get a first down, we're going to move the chains.
Yeah.
That is such a boost to Aaron Roderick and the entire offense and his quarterback, knowing like he's going to get the hard yards. BYU really struggled in 3rd and 4th and short yarded situations last year. One of the worst in the country. One of the worst teams in the country in converting on 3rd and short and 4th and short. I believe the worst team in the country in converting on 4th and 2 or fewer yards. Okay. Aiden Robbins, if he can get those yards, it's going to mean more wins for BYU. They're going to win at least 7.
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited to see him run.
BYU's defense was also notably not great statistically speaking.
No.
Okay, they gave up a lot of points, a lot of yards, and shootouts did not favor the Cougars last year. So, if BYU goes from, let's say, they were the 109th total defense, or an SP plus, according to Bill Connolly, but number 94 in total defense, number 97 in scoring defense, 98 in rush defense, 112 in pass defense.
Yeah, that's 4 things that aren't good.
you're below 90 in those four
There's
major categories.
There's only 131 teams.
I know. So if BYU is a top 50 defense, we'll say total defense, what does that mean for the Cougars?
If they're a top 50 defense in this Big 12, then they are fighting right there for a chance to go to the Big 12 championship game. That's a dramatic change of 98 to 50, you know.
Oh, man.
112 to 50. There's a lot of offense in the Big 12. We know that. If BYU's defense with Jay Hill and his inspiration and what he's got going on, if they are a top 50 defense,
holy cow,
then they are in the game. And they are in the chase for a championship. It's going to be super hard to get to top 50.
Yeah, you're not getting blown out by anybody.
A lot of them are the same guys. But they just got to play differently, play harder. It's a different scheme. And there are some new guys coming in. But, man, to get up to a top 50 defense from where they were last year in 1 year, that puts you in a big place.
Yeah, what do the transfers, what kind of an impact do they immediately make, especially on the defensive line with Isaiah Banyan, Jackson Cravens, and then you throw in A.J. Vongpachan at the linebacker core.
Eddie Heckert over there at the corner.
Yes, what type of difference do those guys make? That's why I said, like, I'll take top 70, Dave.
Yeah.
I'll take top 70.
Top 70 puts us in a spot to have a really good season.
For sure.
Top 50 puts us in a spot.
Potentially special.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not getting blown out by anybody if you have a top 50
defense.
Let's
shoot for top 50.
Let's go. I think
the sky is the limit to a top 50.
All right.
All right. Topic number two today, and this one will get you thinking. As an athletic department, as a whole, BYU ready to compete in the Big 12 this year. They got a chance to really become the premier program in the league once Texas and Oklahoma leave after this year. So,
yes.
Which athletic program poses the biggest challenge to BYU in the Big 12 once the Longhorns and Sooners are gone?
This is a really, really difficult question to answer. and one I've been actually thinking about for a few days, because I agree with you. I feel like BYU as an athletic department, if you look at the Learfield Cup standings last year, Texas and Oklahoma, again, they're leaving. BYU would have been, I think, fourth or fifth, even with Texas and Oklahoma in the mix. And then once those two go down, then they're a top three program from top to bottom. So it's not crazy to think, okay, BYU could be, as an athletic department, the number one program in terms of just winning overall in the Big 12. They were 35th last year, and we thought, oh, it was a little disappointing. Really? Yeah. 35th was disappointing? It's really good. It just shows you how good BYU's been in the recent past. But the other teams that are right there, like TCU's right there, Oklahoma State to me is a tricky one because I feel like Mike Gundy and the Oklahoma State football team, they any given year, they could go and win a Big 12 championship. Yeah. I feel like he's got the type of recruits, that type of program, and certainly the boosters and the financial backing to be a fantastic juggernaut in the football department. Basketball's been off a little bit. I don't expect Oklahoma State, with their tradition and that arena and that fan base, to stay down for long. Their softball team, once Oklahoma leaves, is the premier softball team in the country. And cross-country teams, they have some fantastic competitors. Like, they're typically up there with BYU's elite-level runners. So I think Oklahoma State may be the biggest challenge to BYU. Not to mention baseball, too, Dave. Yeah. I mean, they got an incredible baseball program. So I'm probably going with the Cowboys in Oklahoma State, and which is why I said before, too, I like the idea of a rivalry between BYU and Oklahoma State. They're going to need one. Oklahoma's gone. That rivalry's not going to continue.
Come on over.
BYU needs one. It'd be fun to have Oklahoma State as the rival.
I'm going with TCU.
That's a great answer.
The football team's much better, obviously, playing the championship game last year, and we've got a relationship with them. Basketball team is so much better.
They were a six seed last year in the NCAA tournament.
Soccer team will be second behind BYU in the preseason poll, or first with BYU second.
It might be picked to win it.
Women's volleyball finished third last year in the Big 12. Baseball team's always good. I think
they reached TCU, the College World Series in baseball.
Yeah, always good. I think TCU has the opportunity, and it's going to be a hard conference, which is what makes it great throughout. But TCU could give BYU the biggest run combined in sports.
Yes.
Oklahoma State there too, and if you spend enough time on some of the others, everyone has something good.
Yeah.
Kansas has got basketball, okay, but BYU, TCU, even Oklahoma State, they're so well-rounded. Mm-hmm. And as a newcomer, BYU's going to turn a lot of heads because they're coming into contend for a championship in volleyball. They're going to contend for a championship in soccer. Cross country, they'll be favored.
Yes.
Women's basketball is on the way up. Football is ready to compete. Basketball is building. Gymnastics is there. And then also because we're looking at the overall thing. So I think we'll be talking about TCU a lot.
Yeah, I think TCU and Oklahoma State are the two clear answers. Baylor is right there as well, just behind that group of three, including BYU.
You can't find a bad program, really, to compare to. So we're just talking about what do we most like, and certainly those two.
All right, you tell us. We've given you our answers. Which Big 12 athletic program, top to bottom, poses the biggest challenge to BYU? Not named Texas and Oklahoma because the Longhorns and Sooners are gone after this year. Alex Beach on Twitter answers, it has to be Baylor overall, okay? They have strong football and basketball programs, true, men's and women's basketball programs, as well as having more than a few former BYU players and coaches. They also have those. With Jeff Grimes and Eric Mateos and now the Barrington brothers on the offensive line. Yeah. It took Caleb Loader for the basketball program as well. But I feel like Baylor is the team just behind TCU, Oklahoma State, and BYU. Yeah, so it's a fun conversation.
And we'll see who they add, you know. That might change the mix.
Next
year
point.
We could be having a different conversation on that.
Maybe more to this conversation.
Hey, next week, after further review, rolls out the annual Touchdown Show. This is all the touchdowns from 2022. It's a program guaranteed to make you smile. If you're having a tough day, just watch the Touchdown Show, and then you're happy by the end of it. Tuesday night, 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Everybody wins. BYU racking up miles on the road this year as a football program. How much of an effect will it have on the Cougars, given that they'll have to travel the second most miles of any team in the conference?
I'm worried about what's going to affect you and your performance on game day. You've got to factor that in.
Just give me 4 hours of sleep. Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by Feastbox Global Grill, a unique dining experience featuring Texas, Hawaiian, and Korean meats. Time to feast.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. He is Dave McCann. I am Spencer Linton. Let's roll out today's headlines.
Just in case you missed it, Pro Football Focus released their preseason All Big 12 teams. BYU's got five guys on the roster. Kingsley Suamataia, first teamer. Cody Epps, second team. On the third team, Connor Pay, the center. Ben Bywater, linebacker. Third team, Tyler Batty from the defensive end spot. Third team, five Cougars named to that preseason All Big 12.
Hey, if Tyler Batty is an All Big 12 guy, that's good things for BYU's defense for sure.
That's an All Big 12 mustache, right?
Yes, it is. BYU baseball being represented well in the minor leagues. Daniel Steeman in AAA and Jackson Clough in AA each hit a double last night for their minor league teams. Those are today's headlines. Let's opinionate in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
BYU is going to travel 12,741 miles on road games this season. That's the second most in the Big 12 among the teams. UCF is going to travel the most at 14,914. So how big of an impact will travel have on games for BYU this year?
Not as much as it might impact UCF, Dave. BYU is used to this. They have done this for the majority of independents. So when I first saw it, I was like, man, that is a ton of miles. But they've done this. Like, it's been the norm to travel over 10,000 miles per season through independence. When BYU was making trips to UCF and UConn and Middle Tennessee, BYU's gone all over the place. So this shouldn't have as big of an impact on the Cougars as it will for UCF and maybe another team that, like Cincinnati, that may be making more of a transition to going west and down to Texas.
It's one game a week. It's going to affect the other sports a lot when they're going from here to here in the same week and back.
Like charter planes now.
Yeah, don't worry about these guys.
It's just a different game.
I'm more worried about you than I'm worried about those guys.
I'm going to rack up some frequent flyer miles. Let's go somewhere, okay?
First class.
Let's go somewhere.
Let's do it.
Let's watch playoff baseball or something. All right, a new name, image, likeness bill was proposed in the government that would establish a national standards for NIL activities, meaning preempting varying state laws around the enterprise and requiring the NCAA to develop and maintain a uniform standard contract for all NIL deals, as well as requiring athletes to complete 3 years of athletic eligibility, Dave, before they could transfer without having to sit out a competition for a year, with some exceptions. Would those things, standardizing NIL, and then, I guess, lowering the motion to transfer so quickly, would that be good for collegiate athletics?
I think if you want some civility, yes. You've got to have something. Even the commissioner of the SEC is like going, hey, the feds have to do something here. Every state has different rules. Texas is like, we can do what we want. We're in Texas. There's got to be a governing ruling which will bring some stability to every program, whether you're a P5 or a non-P5. And this is certainly a start, but this quick thing of like, hey, coach made me mad, I'm out of here, kind of a thing. For a young kid whose brain hasn't even developed yet.
It's an epidemic.
He's got things going all over the place. So help the game out. You know, help any particular team out. Help the game out by getting some structure in this NIL.
Yes.
We're all for the rewards that people earn. But it's got to have some structure or it's going to destroy college football.
Yeah, it's great when those players are visiting your team and joining your team. And we're, yeah, it was awesome.
When they're leaving your team.
But let me remind BYU fans about, you know, some prominent players that have recently left. And one almost in Cody Epps. Did you like that? No. But guess what? It's going to keep on happening unless there's some type of governance here and overlying standard.
Free-for-all never really works.
All right, up next. Texas Tech Interview Day continues on BYU Sports Station with the quarterback, Tyler Shuck, an Arizona kid who grew up around a lot of LDS teammates and foes. What does he make of BYU? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live from Studio B. Tyler Shuck, Chandler, Arizona kid, and an Oregon transfer is now in charge of the Texas Tech Red Raiders and one of the dark horses in college football this season. We spoke with him at Big 12 Media Days to discuss his growing up in Arizona, his ties to BYU, and what it was like being in an LDS community. Tyler Shuck on BYUSN.
Tyler, your coach described you as a tough guy. How do you feel about that description from your coach, and do you buy into that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I play with the chip on my shoulder. You know, I always have that the belief that my coaches and my teammates believe in me, but I'm always, or fans, whatever, I'm always going out there like nobody believes me. I'm going to go out there and prove myself every single game. You never know who's in the stands. You never know who's watching, so I'm going to go out there and give him my all. He's definitely right. I need to be smart when I'm playing, but I just got to do what it takes to go in and get a first down, get a touchdown. But, you know, I'm a tough guy on the field, but I like to have fun. I'm pretty similar to Coach McGuire. We get along in that way. I like to joke, like to have fun. I feel like I have a really good relationship with my teammates. So when I'm on the field, it's kind of a different person. But when I'm off the field, you know, I like to switch in that mode. But you can't always stay on all the time.
People are juiced about Texas Tech going into the season. How are you feeling about the year?
I feel great. I wouldn't, you know, this is my sixth year. You know, you going to college, you don't envision being in college for 6 years. And, you know, I've had some injuries. But, you know, God's really blessed me with this position, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. You know, we're playing great new teams in this new conference, playing a good non-conference opponent in Oregon. You know, all my teammates, we're literally like brothers. You know, there's no better culture I've been a part of, so I just can't wait.
You still have some homies at Oregon?
Oh, yeah. I got a couple of roommates. Coaching staff's different, but I still got some friends. It'll be good to see them.
Tyler, you mentioned that the road is winding, and you weren't planning on being here 6 years, but how have you been able to maintain your perspective in an even keel when there has been some just crazy frustrations for you in your career?
Yeah, I mean, you just take it one day at a time. You know, I find my love throughout the process. You know, going in there and working out with my teammates, I take more joy in that sometimes than even game day. You know, game day is a celebration, but I really love the process of it, going out there working with my teammates. That's where you get the most out of it, is spending time with them in the off season and then really celebrating throughout the season what we've kind of accomplished. But yeah, you know, I mean, football is a dangerous sport. Football is a tough sport. You work all year for 12 games and hopefully 13, 14, 15. But you just got to take each opportunity for what it is and take advantage of it. So I think this year we're really due for you know, a lot of great things, and we're excited for some new opponents.
How does 5-0 as a starter last year and 8-0 when you start and finish a game sound? What is it about that has led you and the team to success recently?
I just think it's, you know, obviously it's not me, it's our teammates doing the whole thing. You know, we got a really good group coming back this year, and that was kind of one of the reasons I wanted to come back, is get to put a whole year together. And I really just have that belief in my teammates and in myself that, you know, we go out there and do what we do. There's no one that can stop us. And I think that was evident in those last games, is just going out there and playing free. So I think we can keep putting together that confidence and just playing for each other. It should be pretty fun.
What is the identity of Texas Tech football right now?
I think it's West Texas tough. I think we're just a tough group. We're going to play fast and play physical. You know, we may not have a bunch of five stars. We may not have all these kids from all over the country, but we got a bunch of Texas boys who are going to play hard, and they're nitty gritty. I kind of adopted that mentality. Being from Arizona, it's pretty similar to West Texas. But just coming here, and I fully embrace the Lubbock mindset of, you know, we're going to go out there and put work in, and we're going to go outwork you and put a W on the board. And, you know, even when something bad happens, you know, things are not going to go our way, but we're going to keep bouncing back. So I really love the people there, the blue collar. It's just kind of it's a really good, easy mindset to adopt. And the program, the university, the fan base is just, you know, they're behind you.
When you had Tony Bradford Jr., Jalen Hutchings, and then last year Tyree Wilson off the edge, was that hard in practice to go up against those D linemen? Those are some dudes.
Yeah, it's hard every day, man. And we got they're always running right by you. They can't touch you, but they let you know that you're there for sure. But yeah, I mean, you get to see what, you know, game day is going to be like, and you get to have those live reps as much as you can create. Obviously, it's good that they're not tackling you, but that'll be pretty bad. But I was more happy than anybody. I was kind of recruiting them to come back. I got them a couple. Hopefully recruit them with some PS5s to come back this year. I don't know. They might have been joking with me. They were thinking about leaving. Thinking about now. I'm like, come on, just come back. I got. We'll get some for you. But
you did an NIL deal with your teammates to return.
Not an NIL deal. I was out of pocket money. Basically, what I'm saying is, like, it's good to have them back because they're too
sure
veteran D linemen. Yeah, it's. they're going to make a huge difference for our team. And I hope they're using their PS5s right now.
Hey, right this second.
That concept, we're broaching into something that could gain some momentum there.
Teammates recruiting teammates with other any means. Yeah.
That's what we do.
Let's go.
You know, if you come back each year, you're going to get taken care of, and we're going to have a lot of fun as teammates.
No, but that's real. Like, you love your teammates. You don't want them to transfer or go pro unless it's the best for them. But, like, hey, you guys have something special, too. Like, those guys returning means something for this year. And last year, you beat Texas and Oklahoma in the same year for the first time ever. Like, what did that mean, and what does that mean for this year?
I mean, candidly, it didn't really mean anything to us as far as, you know, we're just trying to go out there and play each opponent for what it is. I think it's a cool fan base, you know, perspective to really the long tradition of it. But for us, I think we take each game, you know, and play as if they're just a nameless, faceless opponent. That's what you can do. And for me, going to playing against Oklahoma, you know, obviously didn't get to play against Texas. I was hurt. And, you know, we just go out there. We don't care what the logo is, and we're going to go out there and play hard. I think it's really cool that, you know, they're obviously leaving the conference, and we're not cool that they're leaving, but, you know, we get to play them again for one last time. But, you know, it's going to be good with a lot of new opponents coming in, but it's going to be a challenge of facing new opponents in the sense that they got different skill sets, different things that we haven't seen before.
Get BYU on October 21st in Provo at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And, again, you're an Arizona guy. BYU has a bunch of Arizona players. Mm-hmm. So I'm gathering, you know, that you understand what BYU is a little bit. So what is your just observation of BYU football as they enter the Big 12?
Man, it's going to be a tough opponent. You know, you got a bunch of poly dudes. You got a bunch of tough white dudes that are going to play hard. They're going to be older than most coming back from their mission. They're going to be really mature, really intelligent. A lot of my friends growing up, a bunch of Mormon friends that are just great people. They're going to smile on your face, and then when you're on the field, they're going to come hit you. So It's definitely gonna be fun just going to that environment, and especially so close, just a great atmosphere. And I know it's gonna be a really tough opponent, but we're excited to go there for sure. I think that's one of our most exciting away games, just to go there and be a part of that fan base. And I know it's gonna be a crazy environment, so we're all excited.
Do you have any friends that are either on the team or that went to BYU from your high school or area?
Yeah, there's a quarterback who went there.
Jacob Conover. Yep. Arizona State now.
Yep. Couple other guys. I think, you know, I've been in college a while, so they're kind of
recycled
in and out. But
Gunner
is my boy, and he obviously went to Chandler, my rival high school. But a lot of great people. So it's going to be fun to go play against them.
Tyler, you've been in college more than a lot of BYU guys, just so we're on the same page. You're the veteran.
Yeah,
you're the mature guy.
Redshirt and COVID.
You are the veteran. Okay, we do need to clarify one final thing. What's hotter, the Arizona heat or the West Texas heat?
I like it. Probably Arizona. I think if you just, I mean, it's supposed to be 120 this week in Chandler in Arizona. That's criminal.
A balmy 120.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But where it gets you, you know, it's kind of been raining in Lubbock lately, so it's kind of getting more humid. You really don't see some humidity in West Texas. West Texas, you're going to get a lot more crazy weather. It'll be raining for 10 minutes pouring down, and it'll be sunny the next, and there'll be like a tornado coming, and there's like a haboob. So you don't really know.
A haboob, yes.
You don't know what's going to happen.
That's that big dust cloud that comes across.
Oh,
like
okay. Yeah,
they got those in Arizona.
Dust storms. Too, yeah.
Yeah, Arizona's, I mean, I'm a heat weather. I'm a sunny guy, so I love it there, but man, right now it sucks.
All right, when you're done with football, you may have a future in meteorology. Okay, Tyler, let's go. Hey, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks. Good to see you guys.
As Coach said, a tough guy, Dave, and he's ready to lead something special in West Texas this year.
We'll see him on October 21st.
Yes, yes, indeed. How does he handle the weather in Utah that night? Still on the way, a rise and shout out to an old friend showing off some new gear. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Which Big 12 athletic program poses the biggest challenge to BYU not named Texas and Oklahoma? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from Murr A. Thomas on Facebook, who says, I hope it's Oklahoma State. Gundy is an interesting character, but more likely I think the BYU-TCU Mountain West Conference Day's rivalry reignites.
Yeah, be fun.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics, to Jamal Williams, repping the Y in his brand new New Orleans Saints threads.
I love that he loves BYU.
Me too. Our thanks to today's guests, Joey McGuire and Tyler Shuck of Texas Tech.
Conversation continues 24-7, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Chad Robinson. See you tomorrow.